Our New Testament lesson this morning is of Romans chapter 12. Hear now the word of our Lord. Therefore, of course we have to stop and talk about what therefore means. Romans is one of the greatest writings of the Apostle Paul. The address to the Romans is just so full and rich. Much of what we understand as theology and doctrine is based on the book of Romans. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has described what truth is, what love is, who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is, and who you are, and who I am. Now, as we get into the 12th chapter, this has been described in many ways for hundreds of years by various theologians and scholars as by some wonderful words. But I would describe it to you in a little different way. I would describe Romans 12 to you as, okay, we know who God is, we know who I am, why Christ died for us, we know that Christ has redeemed us from our sinful nature on the cross, and as he rose again, we can have life. What does that mean? Romans 12 says, okay, this is what it means to you in your life. This is how you apply what I have taught you to your life. This is how you are to live as a Christian. This is kind of the, so what difference does it make? Okay, let me tell you what difference it makes. Now I'm going to read Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Let me repeat that. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And this is the word of our Lord. Am I a worthy sacrifice to God? Paul starts this off in saying to make yourself a living sacrifice. So often they refer to the Presbyterians as the frozen chosen. Paul tells us here that we are to serve the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and enjoy the Lord and enjoy being with other people, other Christians, in the same way that we were when we first came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That our lives have been changed, our lives will never be the same again, and we are happy and we're rejoicing, and we know that Jesus Christ is with us now and forever, and we know that nobody can ever take that away, and we know that we have found the most precious thing in the world, in the universe. And before long, we get back to the old humdrum selves, without the enthusiasm, without the fervor, as it describes it here, without the joy and the commitment that we had as new believers. Paul is telling us that we need to live our Christian lives out on a 24/7 way. We need to wake up in the morning being Christians. We need to greet our family when they wake up being Christians. We need to go out the door as a Christian. We need to drive in our car as a Christian. We need to deal with people who are rude, people who are thoughtless, people who are angry, people who just are looking for an argument, for people who are simply selfish. We need to meet them and greet them as a Christian. We need to live our lives in the way that Paul is describing. When he's talking about making ourselves a living sacrifice, he's saying to make our lives a sacrifice. He's not saying to carry this heavy burden carry a heavy burden upon us, and you hear people say, "Oh, it's my cross to bear." They don't know what a cross to bear is. Jesus Christ knows what a cross to bear is, and He challenged us to pick up our cross and follow Him. But He's talking about to follow Him through persecution and standing up to the world and being the light in the world and being the salt in the world and making a difference in the world. He's not talking us it's about us to hunker down and make it through. You're not going to miss somebody carrying a cross down the street. Jesus wants us to carry our faith in a way that people see that it's different. We don't have to go around saying, "God bless you," and everything. "How are you today?" "I'm blessed." Okay, that's nice. There's some nice things to do, but we do need to allow the world to see something different. As I've told you many times, if the world out there doesn't see something different in us when we're out in the world, why in the world would they come here for something different? Why in the world would they come here to find change? Why would they come here to find salvation? The world needs to see us as different. They need to see that we eat, drink, think, sleep, wake up, and go to sleep again different than the world. Because we are living in Jesus Christ. We're not born into being a Christian. We must be born again into being a Christian. We must be washed in the blood of Christ to be free of sin. We must be walking out as the salt and the light in the community. We shining light on the evil and the corruption and flavoring other people's lives with the salt of the word, with the salt of the faithful, with the salt of the believer, which changes everything. You know, when I'm out on the Chesapeake Bay or out in the water or coming in anywhere in the water, whether you're on a river or as you come into nearing the harbor, you'll see a big sign and it says no wake zone. Okay, and what that means is you have to operate your watercraft in a way that does not cause any waves to come away from the boat that will do damage to the boats that are anchored and tied up, or to all of the riprap that protects the coast from eroding away, or the various barriers that they have. And so you come in, and you'll be coming out off of the water at 20 or 25 knots, flying down across the water, and suddenly you slow down to 2 knots. Sometimes it takes a half hour or more to get back into your boat slip or harbor. And you have to go through and make no waves. That is how a lot of people live their lives in Christianity. They go through as though it's a no wake zone, and they're making sure they don't make any waves, that they don't have anybody stirred up or unsettled because of their faith. It's important to obey by the rules when you are piloting a boat, that you do follow the rules and don't destroy property when you come in just for your own fun. But as a Christian, it's okay to make waves. It's okay to make people uncomfortable. If we do it in love, if we make them uncomfortable with our loving nature. We are to make people uncomfortable by our forgiving nature. Next week we're going to be reading in the Old Testament scripture. We're talking about the book of Samuel, and it talks about David, and we'll talk about that when King Saul was for 10 years was trying to have David killed, and he was pursuing him. David, who God had anointed to be king. Saul, who didn't want to give up his throne. Saul was pursuing David. And one time Saul went into a cave to relieve himself out of sight of his men, not knowing that David and his band of 100 or so fighters were in the cave. And David snuck up on him with his knife. And he cut the corner off of his cloak and went back into the darkness. He did this so that he could later tell Saul what he had done, and he did. And Saul was sorrowful that he had wronged David so badly, and David had had the opportunity to kill him and the right to kill him, and he had not. And this is what Paul is talking about here, of when people are evil to us, being good to them, sparing their life, or speaking kind words, or doing something for them that they need. When people are evil to us, doing something good, Paul says, heaps coals upon their head. But more importantly, it helps them understand the love of Jesus Christ, the love of that comes through the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our lives. We can't. The problem is that many times we are so concerned about not making waves, about not disturbing people, not upsetting our families. I know I'm not the only family in this room who has unbelievers in your family. Let me tell you that it would be a lot easier to not pray before meals when they're around. It would be a lot easier to not share with them biblical texts that can help them with their problem, that addresses their problem. It would be a lot less. It would make a lot less waves if we pretend that it doesn't bother us that they have not found God's saving grace. But that's not what we're told to do. We are told to shower them with love, shower them with the word, never let them think that we don't love them, never let them think that we've given up on them, but to persevere and to make waves in their life. Make waves so that the waves of Jesus Christ's cleansing blood, Jesus Christ's cleansing salvation can wash over them and change their lives as well. God has the power to snap his fingers and make everyone in the world believe in him and worship him. But that's not what God's plan is. God's plan is to use you. You, the one he knows by name, the one he's known since before you were in your mother's womb, the one who he has worked in and drawn in and prepared to make waves in the community, to make waves in your family, to make waves with your friends, to make waves with your coworkers, to make a difference. This is the plan that Jesus Christ has for you and for me. And we thank him for his plan. Don't go through life trying not to make waves. Don't go through life trying not to make a difference. Don't waste your time, this precious time that we have in our lives, and miss an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. To sit down and talk to someone. To sit down and listen to someone. To let them know that you care. And let them know why you care. And let them know who has given you the ability to care. And what a difference that Jesus Christ can make in their lives as well. Amen.